The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "A rich man had a steward who was reported to him for squandering his property. He summoned him and said, 'What is this I hear about you? Prepare a full account of your stewardship, because you can no longer be my steward.' The steward said to himself, 'What shall I do now that my master is taking the position of steward away from me? I am not strong enough to dig, and I am ashamed to beg. I know what I shall do, so that when I am removed from the stewardship, they may welcome me into their homes.' He called in his master's debtors one by one. To the first he said, 'How much do you owe my master?' He replied, 100 measures of olive oil. He said to him, 'Here is your promissory note. Sit down and quickly write one for 50. Then to another the steward said, 'And you, how much do you owe?' He replied, 100 nors of wheat. The steward said to him, 'Here is your promissory note. Write one for 80. And the master commended the dishonest steward for acting prudently. For the children of this world are more prudent in dealing with their own generation than are the children of light. I tell you, make friends for yourselves with dishonest wealth, so that when it fails, you will be welcomed into eternal dwellings. The person who is trustworthy in very small matters is also trustworthy in great ones. And the person who is dishonest in very small matters is also dishonest in great ones. If, therefore, you are not trustworthy with dishonest wealth, who will trust you with true wealth? If you are not trustworthy with what belongs to another, who will give you what is yours? No servant can serve two masters. He will either hate one and love the other, or be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Many of you said, "Welcome home." Thank you. It's great to be back here in Petersburg. Interesting that this is the gospel for my arrival, as I've been moving boxes of household goods around for 2 days now, still having not found my black pants. I'm not sure where they are, but hopefully they're in Wrangell when I get over there on Wednesday. When you first met me, I was a brand new priest, just 2 years old. I think I'm still a brand new priest, just 8 years old now. Right? Think of the skills your 8 year olds have. And that's about the same skill level that I have. Just getting started as a priest. And it's been interesting when I've had the opportunity to reflect on different parables of Jesus. There's some that, you know, after a couple readings, you get it. You know, the parable of the sower comes to mind. You know, and the seed is God's word. I mean, this is a great one because Jesus says, oh, and this is the explanation, right? He explains his own parable to us and we go, yeah, I get it. The word of God can fall in rich, fertile soil and bear abundant fruit, or on rocky ground and bear no fruit. But then you get to this parable and you go, I don't get it. Lord, what are you talking about? Praising the dishonest steward for cheating again his master? Well, there's all kinds of explanations. And this field of scripture scholarship is, well, mixed on this at best, or divided and contentious at worst. Many scripture scholars, and I try to read lots of different sources about the scripture each week. I mean, I try to spend 10 to 14 hours reading about the Sunday readings so that I might have you have something to offer you. And yeah, I don't, so I'll just sit down. No. Many said that what the steward was giving up was his commission as stewardship of the property would have been a cut of what was owed the master. And often it was a cut above what was actually owed the master. So if the master was owed 80, they would add another 20 in that the steward would take that off the top. And then there's just as many scripture scholars that say, we don't have any evidence that that could possibly be true. We have no extra biblical evidence. We have no biblical evidence that there was any way that the steward would be profiting off of that. As opposed to, we do have evidence of tax collectors adding their commission on and making a living from the tithes that they were collecting for the Roman Empire. And so the best explanation I read was that this is, in fact, a parable. Right? Jesus speaks in parables that are stories that have a bigger meaning or bigger characters involved. And so some of the bigger characters would be, first of all, the master is God. The steward is the people of Israel, especially the religious leaders at the time. And we know Jesus often gets into little tussles with the scribes and the Pharisees, the religious leaders of his time, on how to interpret the law, how to lead God's people to greater holiness. And he said, you guys are so shrewd, so perfect at keeping a tithe of mint and rue, and yet heaping up heavy burdens on the poor that are impossible for them to carry. What might those burdens that Jesus spoke of be? Well, if you're a practicing Israelite, you had to keep kosher. And in order to keep kosher, you had to separate meat and milk. Right, because this one line in Leviticus that you shan't boil a kid in his mother's milk. I'm not sure I ever wanted like boiled goat meat in milk. So I don't think it was a big temptation on anybody's part. But so, in fact, even today, if you really are trying to keep kosher as an Israelite, you have two kitchens. Two refrigerators, two sets of dishes, two sets of cookware, and you can imagine the poor not being able to do this. Now, there are other ways of cleansing the dish that had meat in it once and then being able to cook your porridge with milk the next day, and that's how the poor would accomplish it. But the Pharisees were saying, that's not enough. You have to actually have two sets of dishes. And Jesus is saying, wait a minute. The law of God is to bring forth life. The law of God is to help you fall in love with me, right? It's to promote that God is part of your life, and it shouldn't be a burden. Now, I'm not here saying that being Catholic is easy, because it's not. There are lots of things that we hold true that the rest of the society says, are you serious? You don't believe in that crazy stuff anymore, do you? And there's lots of ways that the church has done a really poor job of witnessing to gospel values. I think of the sex abuse scandal, right? Or the poor treatment of women through the centuries. You know, where is their voice at the table of leadership? And how do we continue to be involved in this church that seems so contradictory to what our society holds as valuable? Well, Jesus is saying the same thing in today's gospel, that what the society holds as valuable may not have any value at all. He's saying you're so good at spending 40, 60, 80 hours a week at providing for your family. How much do you provide for your spiritual family? How many hours do you spend in prayer or in fasting or in almsgiving or in reading of scripture or in adoration? Does it even come close to being 4 hours a week? I mean, that'd be a tenth of 40 hours a week, right? I don't know. Each of us needs to look at that and say, what are we dealing with? Because Jesus kind of explains his parable of the unjust steward in that the children of light do a far worse job of dealing with the things they need to deal with than do the children of the world, right? We have people that help us with our investments. And we have that in the church, right? I'm supposed to help you with your spiritual investments. We should have regular investment meetings about your spiritual retirement, right? And spend some time to look, well, you know, actually you probably need to make more deposits now so that you'll have some spiritual retirement then, Think about what we're doing with our lives. We come here and we're filled with the glory of God when we receive the Eucharist. Right? Nothing less than that. Jesus' body, blood, soul, and divinity comes alive in us in four ways. Does anybody know what four ways? I wrote you a letter explaining the four ways. Hold on. In the Word of God proclaimed, right? That's why we stand for the gospel.
I didn't know the letter was a test.
Just to see if you had read it, right? And you did read it, but maybe you want to read it again.
Okay.
At least that section on where Christ is found. Because it's really important. If we fail to meet that, then we're going to fail to thrive as a parish. The Word of God proclaimed is tremendously important. The Second Vatican Council actually said, we're not reading enough of it. So if we were to do the old Latin Mass, we'd only get 1/16 of the readings that we get now. Because they had one cycle in 1 year, and it was only an epistle and the gospel. You got a few extra Old Testament readings at Advent and Easter time. But now we have this 3-year cycle that's this magnificent. I mean, literally, it's only 64% of the Bible, right? So we're not reading all of it, but we're getting the big stories. So the Word of God proclaimed the gathered assembly, right? We are the body of Christ. We have to gather together. That's where Christ is found. The early Christian community had the resurrected Lord walking with them, and they wrote about it. Right? John the Evangelist, writing 90 to 120 years after Jesus, is writing like he's walking with Jesus, because in fact, the resurrected Lord is there in the gathered assembly. How much do we consider that when we decide whether or not, well, it's kind of sunny, maybe I should go for a run this morning? Or should I come to church? It was tempting, you know, there's beautiful water out there, maybe I should go kayaking, but then all of you guys were going to come, so here I am. Right? I think we often absent ourselves from the worshiping body for less than serious reason. And that damages the body of Christ. Right? How many of us know Catholics who aren't here? Okay, invite them. Right? Tell them, you're part of the body of Christ. We need you. The last time we gathered, there was only a lung and a kidney and two toes. We need you. Right? The church is not the pastor. The church is the body of Christ gathered around the Word of God and then celebrating the Eucharist. We come here to celebrate the Eucharist because that's what makes us who we are. That if our body of Christness gets tarnished during the week, right, we lose focus on who we are as God's people, we come to the Eucharist and we're refreshed. It's like setting the reset button, you know, on your router. Things start going better because we've been in touch with the one who makes us who we are. Right, God created us to be love in the world. Right, Teresa Lisieux, our diocesan patron, found that to be her vocation. She was going to be love in the heart of the church. I'm like, you go, girl. That's big. Right, I'm just happy to be like Father Thomas in Petersburg. You know, I don't know if I can be love in the heart of the church. That's huge. But Teresa's calling us in that same way to think bigger than ourselves, to think bigger than our little group, right? It is so amazing. So those are three places. Thank you. Three places, right? The gathered assembly, the Word of God, the Eucharist par excellence, right? Body, blood, soul, and divinity. We can go on for weeks on that. We will. It's wonderful. And the last one is in the presider, right? As head of the assembly. We gather together, and you need a presider. And I wish I could be here every week, right? For this parish to really thrive, I need to be here every week. But the current situation is I'm going to be here every other week. Arg. Right? Arg here for me, arg for you, and arg for the people in Rangu who called me this morning saying, aren't you going to be here? I'm like, oh gosh, I'm not sure how to say this, but no, I'm here. And I won't be able to get there till Wednesday. Right? And so really, I'm going to try to live in two worlds, and you're going to have to help me with that. Because I would love to live in just one of them. Right? But trying to split myself in half is the reason I have no black pants. Right? They all went to Wrangell somehow on Alaska Marine Lines, and there they are. And thankfully, my alb is long enough you can't tell I'm wearing dark green pants. I think God is wonderfully, deliriously in love with us. Right? And he told this parable to say, if you're spending that much time on the things of the world, with your investments and your work, in the building of your home, spend a little bit of time, please. Just spend some time on your spiritual life. You know, let's consider what our spiritual investment counselor would say, right? Earlier deposits, earlier in life, pay way better benefits than trying to catch up towards the end of your life, right? So for you people that are close to the beginning of your life, start putting that 10% of your spiritual life in the bank, right? If I'm going to spend 40 hours a week at work, I should spend 4 hours in prayer. If I work 80 hours a week, I should spend 8 hours in prayer a week. And I think we could do it. Currently, I have like a part-time job in prayer, about 21 hours a week, which is fantastic. But it allows me to have something to offer you, right? If I had spent no time in prayer, I'd have nothing to offer. And I think the same could be said for each other. If we have no time in prayer, if we have no time in connecting with the one who is love, how is it we're going to have anything to offer our brother and sister when they're in need? We have a huge challenge ahead of us, right? Growth in holiness and to thrive as a parish community. I think we can do it. I'm excited to be here with you. But I ask for your prayers for myself and for one another, because prayer will change this and will really set us on fire for God.